Hello and welcome to Series 1 of the podcast The Heart of Teaching, produced by Hibernia College. My name is Aoife Lynham, teacher and researcher, and in this podcast I speak with educators from a variety of fields and ask them about the teachers who inspired them to get where they are today. So join us as we meet the inspirational for a little bit of inspiration. So I'm really excited today to have not one, but two people in the studio with me here. I have Anne Lawler and her daughter, Áine Lawler. Anne is one of the founding members of the 22Q11 Ireland support group. The group was set up in 2007 and supports Irish families who are affected by 22Q deletion syndrome. 22Q deletion syndrome is caused by a small missing piece on the Q arm of the 22nd chromosome. Children who are born with 22q deletion syndrome have complex medical, educational and social care needs over the lifespan. There can be varying effects from the deletion range, from congenital heart defects to speech and language problems, and many children who have this syndrome have learning disabilities and mental health issues. Anne has been dedicated throughout her life to raising awareness for this poorly understood and under-recognised condition. Today we are honoured to be joined by her daughter Áine Lawler. Áine is a person who is living with 22q deletion syndrome. She was diagnosed in 1998 at the age of 15, and throughout her life she has faced the many challenges that go along with living with this relatively common, rare condition. Áine is a Special Olympian and she was a participant in the World Games. And these days, Áine is likely to be found in the bowling alley, pursuing her passion for the game. She's a very valued member of the 22Q YEEP group. And if you're wondering what YEEP stands for, it's the Young Experts by Experience panel. So it's lots of people who have 22Q, who lived with 22Q, sharing their experiences. And so along with her online presence, her participation in research, and with giving presentations at conferences, she has become very well known for an ambassador in the global 22Q community. Áine lives at home with her mum, Anne, and her beloved dog, Honey. So welcome here today, Áine and Anne. I'm really delighted to have you in the studio with us. Áine, would you be able to maybe introduce yourself and tell us why you're here today?
My name is Áine Lawler. I'm 34 years of age, and I'm here to talk about 22Q.
Brilliant.
The condition that I have.
Yeah, I think there are going to be a lot of people with a lot of questions already about 22Q out there. And Anne, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I'm Anya's mum. And Áine was diagnosed with 22Q11.2 deletion syndrome when she was 15. And there was very little known about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think one of the main questions that are going to be on people's minds at the moment is what exactly is 22Q? Áine, do you want to tell me what 22Q is? How would you describe it?
Everybody has 22 chromosomes, but I only have a missing piece of that 22. So I have a little bit missing.
Okay.
Yeah.
We call it the little deletion with the big impact.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it is a micro deletion, but it has... Áine would have several genes, copies of genes missing.
Okay.
Which can affect any of the body systems.
And what would the impact, what does the impact look like?
It's an extremely variable condition, so it can result in cardiac defects, immunology problems, learning differences, a whole range of symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And no two people will be affected the same way.
And I think that's really an important aspect to kind of hone in on, that no one is going to react the same. So therefore, when student teachers are out in classrooms, when teachers are out in classrooms, they may meet children with 22Q who react in very different ways. So Áine, would you tell me a little bit about your school experience in primary school?
Yeah, in the mainstream school that I was in, I had a terrible experience. But it was... I suppose it was bad and good, because mm-hmm. I had made a friend in that school.
Good.
So that's how I found mm-hmm. one of my friends. So it wasn't all that bad.
Okay. And you'd mentioned to me earlier what you had said when you'd left that school. What was taken off?
Pressure.
Yeah,
because I was pressure. Under a lot of pressure in the mainstream school.
Yeah.
And they gave me too much homework and I couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. And I was getting really, really stressed and frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you had a much better experience when you went to St. Michael's. Can you tell me about why that was so much better?
Because they just took a load off my shoulder. Mm-hmm. You were there to learn, but learn in a different way to suit your needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Anne, can you tell me what you remember about Anya's experience in school and the supports that were available to her?
At that time, there was very little support because Anya was quite ill from the time, when I say quite ill, she was always picking up infections and we were always at the doctor, or we were at the hospital. And I put her into Montessori because I knew that would suit her. And I kept her there for a couple of years. So she didn't actually start school until she was gone five at the time. But she wasn't in the school very long and the teacher suggested an assessment. And the assessment, and I don't particularly like using these words, and Anya knows that, but at the time the diagnosis was mildly mentally retarded.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing the cause. And when I got back to the school with this report, they said, well, I'm very sorry, but we don't have learning resources here. We can't keep on you.
And what year was that?
Oh, gosh, that was
a good while back.
We were born in 1983. That would have been 1989 or thereabouts.
1989, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the time I'm thinking.
Yeah. So there was very little, mm-hmm. very little at that time. So had to hunt around for what they called a special ed class. But from my experience and hindsight, really it was a dumping class for anybody who didn't fit the typical normal educational kind of thing. And then Anya was coming home on a lot of occasions and trying to articulate to me that she was being bullied. But I didn't pick up on it necessarily. What I heard was sort of typical kid stuff, but she actually was being bullied. So it wasn't a pleasant experience for her at all.
But it's where I met my best friend.
But it's where she met her best friend.
Okay. And tell me about the friendships that you have and the things that you do.
Yeah, I do a lot of bowling. I'm in Special Olympics.
Fantastic.
My friends and I, we just go out to the cinema and have coffee and mm-hmm. catch up and go shopping and stuff.
Okay, brilliant. And tell me a little bit more about this bowling, because you're being a little bit modest. Because I know you are an Olympian and that you are now kind of more professional in the bowling that you're doing. So tell us a little bit about why you love bowling. And
I'm in a club called the Stillorgan Eagles, and they're based in Stillorgan. And we have about 42, maybe more, members. Mm-hmm. And we all gel well together and we're like a family. And we're all about fun in Special Olympics, so we like to keep it as if we're having fun and we're not about winning and all that.
Mm-hmm.
We're all about having fun.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And do you ever get nervous? Because I think I'd be quite nervous if I was in the Special Olympics. I would be very nervous.
I always get nervous before I start, but I'm working on the mental game.
Okay.
So I'm working on how to take deep breaths and try and stay calm in under pressure situations.
Okay, can you give me any tips? So the deep breaths, that's a really good one.
Yes.
So yeah, I think that's really important actually. And I'm sure if there are people listening, they'll kind of be able to take on that advice as well, that actually it's not just about the game, you have to do the mental game as well and how you approach
bowling
that.
Bowling is mental and physical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would imagine if you weren't in a good place mentally, it might be very hard to play a good game.
Yeah, definitely.
And what was your favourite subject when you were in St. Michael's?
Geography.
Geography. And tell us why you liked that. What kind of things did you like to do?
I liked learning about... actually, another one was history as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
I love
history and geography were my favourites. Mm-hmm. History because I like all the old stories that were held in Dublin, or the poetry part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just love all the old times, stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. Would you have any kind of advice for student teachers or for teachers at all that you'd kind of want them to know about 22Q, or what kind of things you'd like them to maybe read about?
Well, I would say try not to look at us and say, you don't have any disability, you're fine. That just makes matters worse if you tell us that, because we get really, really frustrated. And then just try and maybe encourage the student, just tell that student to say that there's always support out there, and there's 22Q Irish group there, and just like don't treat us any different than other students.
Okay, and what is the 22Q Irish group? What kind of things is that group involved in, do you know?
We have the YEEP group. It's called...
Tell me about this YEEP group. That sounds very interesting.
Was it Young
Experts?
Experts.
By Experience Panel.
Panel.
Oh, yeah. It sounds very professional.
So there's about
seven
of us. Mm-hmm. And we just work together on the conference, and we do workshops together.
Who did you work with?
A lady called Lorna.
Okay, very
She's
good.
She's brilliant.
Okay, great.
And another lady, Fiona.
Fiona McNicholas, who is a professor in child and adolescent psychiatry.
She was very, very helpful to all of us.
And on foot of an Irish Research, small Irish Research Council grant, Lorna worked with the young adults with 22Q about their experiences living with the condition, and in particular their mental health. Mm-hmm. So we learned a lot, and the YEEP group opened there is now a European 22Q Alliance, and the second conference was held in Dublin last October, and the YEEP group opened it, which was the first time a 22Q conference was ever opened by people that actually have the condition.
That's a wonderful, wonderful change and a great thing to be part of.
Oh, it was, yeah.
It is.
We got great reception, and everybody was so amazed and welcoming us, yeah.
And it made a difference, I think, to them, because it gave them an opportunity to work together over a period of time and to hear each other's stories and to realise that they're not on their own, which is really important. The support, the peer support is just wonderful. And as an organisation or a support group, we hold a conference every year. Mm-hmm. And this year, actually, our conference is specifically focused on education.
Okay.
So we have a world expert on the condition and education coming to Dublin in October the 6th, Donna Cutler-Landsman, who's written what I would consider the educational Bible for 22Q, or VCFS as it's also known. And she'll be talking about transitions a great deal, and that's transition from primary into secondary into wherever, into probably adult life. Teachers, I think, would be not familiar with the condition, and not familiar with the learning differences that the children and the teens encounter. Executive functioning skills is a huge area. 22Q, as it affects also affects the brain and the neurodevelopmental side of things. So processing, information processing, organization, planning, all of that can be quite difficult, and made extremely difficult if there's no understanding.
Absolutely.
So one of the things we hope to develop when Donna is here is maybe a sort of a document that would enable parents and teachers to understand the cognitive profile a little better. Mm-hmm. So that we're all singing from the same hymn sheet and helping the child as best we can.
And you'd mentioned as well about math, just as an example, that can be something.
I don't like maths.
I have yet to meet anybody with 22Q that can navigate or negotiate maths.
And that's very important for educators to be aware of. Can you give me an example of how it might affect someone with 22Q?
For me, it's the cooking.
Okay.
Like, and the money.
Cooking-wise, I can't time the eggs, or I can't time the steak, or I can't time the potatoes, or, you know, I need to have a kind of an egg timer for the eggs.
Okay.
To kind of help.
Okay. And a bit with money then, how is that challenging in a day-to-day life?
Terrible. I'm terrible at money. Yeah. But I have mum here to help. So
yeah.
I'm really getting there, I think.
You're getting there.
Yeah,
yes.
Getting there.
That's great. Yeah.
It's still an issue.
Yeah. Still a day-to-day issue.
Okay.
It is, yeah.
And, but I'm getting there.
And that, I think, is something that isn't realised much either. For me, Aoife, I think early intervention and the right supports are crucial.
And the right environment.
And the right environment. Okay. I also think that this, I've often said there must be thousands of Áineas out there, and I don't necessarily mean with 22q, I mean who fall into this mild category.
Okay.
This mild learning disability category. I think it's by far the biggest, and I think it's by far the most underestimated and unrecognised kind of, I suppose, across the board condition maybe. A lot of our children are not, there's only a small percentage of children that are diagnosed in the first year of life with 22q. A lot of them come to attention through the learning and behavioural differences. As you can imagine, Áine spoke about frustration. If you have children in school who are frustrated because they can't keep up with their peers, or they can't learn the things that the other children are learning so easily, it just causes all sorts of difficulties. And, you know, we could do a lot better with greater awareness and understanding.
And do you think since Áine was in primary school that there have been a lot of positive changes? Are things much better, or do we still have a long way to go?
We've still a long way to go.
Okay. And what kind of changes, I suppose, what's good? So what do you see as being good that's happening in schools at the moment? And then what do you think we could build on?
Perhaps just the awareness, and that children with any kind of special educational need are not segregated, or in, you know, there's pros and cons to special education. I think special education, as Áine said, takes the pressure off, but I think it takes the pressure off psychologically, and that's not recognised. I think that teachers nowadays have huge challenges in the classroom. Really, I really large classrooms, and you've got lots of children with different conditions, maybe different nationalities. So, you know, the challenges are significant. But I also think that we can learn from the likes of the EAP group. Like Áine presented last year at the IATSE conference.
I did.
Well done. You are made for the stage, aren't you?
And she just told them what it was like, and she told them what it was like. I mean, when she went for the interview to do her volunteering work in St. Michael's, she said, well, I have a learning disability. Why wouldn't I be good in the classroom? You know, which makes sense. So we have a lot to learn. To learn from them.
And can you tell me a little bit about your work? I know that you're volunteering as an SNA. I know you studied to do that. So could you tell us a little bit about when you studied and then about the role that you're doing?
I studied in Gloucester College for 2 years. I did an SNA level 4 course. Brilliant. And it was a 1 year course, but the principal, Rory O'Sullivan, letting me do it over 2 years.
Wonderful.
Which was very nice.
Very good.
I was able to complete it then.
But do you remember the poem you wrote at the time about why am I last?
Yeah.
Because, you see, this is when I say things have changed, but they haven't changed also. There was a person in a wheelchair who got the resources straight away, but who didn't have any kind of a learning difficulty. But because the condition is visible, they got the resources much quicker. Áine was a long time waiting for the resources to come in, and her stress level was rising accordingly.
Yeah.
So it was difficult. It was difficult, but she stuck at it, and she did very well over
the 2 years.
The 2 years on assessments.
Yeah,
exams would not be great.
But I managed a few merits. Well,
she
done.
Did manage yeah. a few merits. Yes.
That's fantastic. Okay, and tell us about the work that you're doing now.
Now I'm in St. Michael's House in Ballymun School. Where I attended.
Very good.
And now I work among the, a few of the two or three teachers that had me. They're still there, and I work among them now. And I do a lot of voluntary work.
Okay.
And I'm really, really enjoying it, and I'm learning a lot.
Are you?
Yeah, because there's a lot of demanding kids in the school, so very, very challenging at times, but it's what makes me get up in the morning is all the kids, yeah.
That's fantastic. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what kind of things would you like to see changing as we go into the future? I mentioned this question on, you said you'd love it. So if you had a magic wand.
If I had a magic wand, well, at the moment we're working very actively towards integrated medical care. And we now have a fledgling 22Q clinic in Crumlin Hospital, which is marvellous. 22Q, like a lot of other things, is a lifespan condition. So that's number one. So we look at this across the lifespan. And I'd like to see integrated coordinated care, so that the medical, educational and social domains are all linked together and the services are interwoven and intertwined, and that we take the considerable stress from mothers in particular, who are fighting probably three different systems at the same time. Also looking after their families and the child or the teen or the adult indeed, because Anya's an adult now. With 22Q.
Okay. And if you like, just imagine now you've lots of student teachers and teachers in front of you. I know you mentioned a book, but is there anywhere else that we can go to get the information to upskill ourselves? I know you have the upcoming conference and that book that you mentioned, but is there, and I'll put a link to them in the podcast as well. But is there any kind of website that you recommended? I know you mentioned the group that you're in. Is there a website for that? Is there a Facebook page people can follow to get updates on what you're doing in the YEEP group?
We have a social media on Facebook.
And what's that called?
The YEEP International.
Oh, yes, but that's not for the public.
Page.
That's not for the public. That's only for people like yourselves.
Yeah,
it's
people who are
allowed into that group.
we have a website, 22Q Ireland website, and we also have a 22Q Facebook page. Anya actually is followed around the world, I think, at this stage.
Yeah.
But what we would like to do, and I hope to do it in conjunction with Trinity College, is develop an educational kind of hub source so that we could develop just what you're talking about, a place where teachers could go for resources and information.
Because I think that's what the fear is sometimes, that when you're out there and just say you had a child with 22Q in your class and you wanted to go and update yourself, you might end up at a website that maybe isn't giving the most up-to-date information.
Yeah.
It's maybe giving wrong information. Now, Anne, I know you mentioned earlier that there was a different name for 22Q. Can you tell people a little bit about that?
There were different names until the genetic testing actually became available, when they could see this microdeletion. It was known as DiGeorge syndrome, because that's actually Anya's original diagnosis, DiGeorge syndrome, caused by the 22nd, the deletion on the 22nd chromosome. It's also known as VCFS, which is velocardiofacial syndrome, because a lot of the children would have the congenital heart defect. And a couple of other names, but gradually the community is coming around to just simply calling it 22Q. So there are a couple of websites and resources. We have them on our website that we would generally point people to. Donna Cutler, that I mentioned, has her own website. But also, if anybody wanted to know anything, they can contact me directly. And okay. I always try to point them in the right direction. Okay.
Brilliant. Well, we might put your contact details on the podcast as well, so that people can follow up with you. Well, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you kind of wanted to tell me about?
I can tell you a bit more about Special Olympics.
I would absolutely love to hear more about Special Olympics.
I'm in Tippin Bowling. And we train together every Tuesday. And it's great to be a part of Special Olympics because you don't have to try and fit in and be somebody else when you're in Special Olympics. You can actually be more yourself. Mm-hmm. And you just gel well with everybody. And it's great to be a part of a big organisation like Special Olympics because you make great friends. And it's just, if I didn't have that now, I'd be totally lost. Mm. So I'm very, very lucky to be a part of Special Olympics and to have my friends from that. And I think if anybody is interested in trying to find a hobby, I would recommend them to try and go to Special Olympics.
Okay, and how did you find bowling?
Through my friend from Trinity College.
Okay.
I did a course with her for two years.
What was the name of that course?
The
ID, the Certificate in Contemporary
Living. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were together for a year or two. The girl that I met, Emma McPhillips, she asked me to go bowling with her one night and I said, yeah, no problem. Mm-hmm. And I've been ever since. And that was 10 years ago.
Brilliant. 10 years of bowling. That's fantastic. And I know you've many other interests as well. Tell us a little bit about your Zumba.
Yeah, I do Zumba on a Monday night and sometimes Wednesdays. Okay. In town with Carla. She's an amazing teacher. She's great fun, full of energy. If anybody wants to lose weight, I recommend do something.
Pottery?
Yeah, and I do pottery as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I do that in the St. Michael's House Service. It's a centre for people with disabilities, and they go in and they do their activities in there. Mm-hmm. And we meet up and we have a chat. And there's pottery in there as well. So that's why I go in and do pottery.
Where do you find all of this time, Anya? You're amazing to find the time.
I've never been to the gym the other days as well.
So you're big into your gym. Is there anything you like doing in the gym in particular?
Oh, I love boxing.
Boxing.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Boxing. I have an amazing gym instructor in there as well. Yeah.
Great.
She's brilliant.
Great.
And then on the 22nd of every month, Anya does a
live video on Facebook.
Fantastic.
Yes, and I spread awareness about 22Q.
Okay, well, that's very good for our listeners to be aware of.
And before we end, maybe you'd tell Eve about acceptance. Accepting 22Q.
A lot of young people are finding it hard to accept that they have it. But I was very lucky to meet somebody who I admire and that he admires me. And he told me, and I'll never forget it, he told me you can either be a coper or a struggler. So I chose to be a coper. And ever since I met that person.
Tell Eva who that person is.
Dr. Tony Simon. Okay. He's in the Mind Institute over in
California.
And he has an amazing team over there.
Okay.
And he was the one that told me, you can either be a coper or a struggler. So that's how I have a very good positive outlook. Mm-hmm. It's because I choose to cope, not struggle.
Okay. Yeah. I think that if not only with 22Q, I think for anyone who has any struggles, that's incredible advice to them to give and to even pass that on to teachers that if they ever meet anyone.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Anya. I really appreciate your time, Anne. And Anya, thank you very much.
No problem.